Some weeks after his resurrection, Jesus led his disciples to the village of Bethany, where he blessed them. Luke says, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Friends, on this Ascension Sunday, I warmly invite you to join in that same joyful worship today. Please be seated. Well, friends, it's time to join in song. I'd invite you to stand as we sing together, "Look, Ye Saints, the Sight is Glorious." Please be seated. Well, friends, welcome. Thank you for joining us in person here at Scots Church in the city of Melbourne this cold, wintry morning. I said to someone earlier, when I do make that observation, I'm not complaining, just saying that's how it is today, and it's good to have you here. If you are new to Scots, please take a moment to drop us your details on an introduction card. We'd love to hear about your visit. Sadly, today we mark the passing of a Christian leader on the world stage, Dr. Tim Keller, who pioneered Redeemer Presbyterian Church in the heart of New York City. Tim set a benchmark for gracious, winsome, and biblical city ministry that many of us around the world have learned from. And we thank God for his life and example. Now, our mission partners support team invites you to join us for lunch today, immediately after the service, on the mezzanine floor in the Westpac building behind me. There is no charge. Lunch is provided, and you're very welcome to come. We didn't do an RSVP this time. We figured we had a pretty fair idea of how many would turn up. That means even if you're here for the first time today, just wander across and join us for lunch. Or if you normally come for morning tea after the service, we've counted you in as well. We will be speaking by Zoom to Colin and Alison Morrow, who work with the Presbyterian Inland Mission. Rather than bringing them here in person, we're bringing them here by video link, and they would be very encouraged to see you there from where they are. So please join us. We're going to join in another hymn now, Blessing and Honour and Glory and Power. Please be seated. I mentioned a moment ago the passing of Tim Keller. Lou and I went to New York back in 2004 to meet with Tim and look at what they were doing in their church. One of Tim Keller's biggest contributions, I think, was in reminding us that praying for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, was not so much a call to political action, but to living lives of grace and integrity as we invite others to follow Jesus with us from the heart. We'll have that in mind as we join in the Lord's Prayer in a moment, but first please bow and join with me in the prayer of approach. Father of all creation, you dwell in unapproachable light. Your knowledge is beyond our comprehension, your holiness beyond our grasp. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who through his perfect sacrifice on our behalf has ascended into your presence as our great High Priest and King, where he sits at your right hand. We thank you that in the fullness of our humanity, he has known our every weakness and temptation. So we come before you in confidence, knowing that in Christ we find mercy and grace. Thank you that he intercedes for us continually, presenting our prayers, our needs, and our praises before your glorious throne. Help us, we pray, to fix our eyes on him, looking beyond the challenges and trials of this world. To him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, that we might run the race set before us to the end. We thank you for the faithful example of our brother Tim Keller, whose preaching and writings gave fresh expression to how we might speak your truth with grace, humility, and love in today's world. We ask your gracious care for his wife Kathy and his family at this time. Unite us in love, empower us to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. Grant us gentleness, discernment, and boldness to fulfill our mission as we call others to join us in loyal allegiance to our ascended Lord Jesus, as we pray the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, choir. Now, if there are kids keen for Sunday school today, Grace and Bawanika will meet you at the door out that way. You can sneak out during verse 1 of the next hymn. Your offerings will also be received during the hymn, or you might like to try, if you're a techie person, the new touchpoint machine at the door on your way out. But if you're visiting, please feel very welcome just to be our guest and enjoy the service. Our hymn is A Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Please be seated. Please join me in prayer. Let us pray. God of all creation, we praise and give you thanks for this new day. Thank you for the blessing of Christ's presence in our lives and the gift of your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for the amazing gift of your creation, for the trees that grow in our backyard, on the streets, or in the woods, that all start with a tiny seed, which then develops into a large tree where birds take shelter. Loving God, as birds take shelter in trees, help us to take refuge in you through faith in Christ. May your church be a place where people can find strength in one another through hope, faith, prayer, and fellowship. We pray that you would bless, strengthen, and protect your church worldwide, as well as at Scots Church and its constituents. We pray for the ministers, church leaders, and congregations, that people of faith may work together in unity, prayer, and allegiance to Jesus to overcome evil and promote true love among all people. Open our hearts and minds as we listen and meditate on your word today. And help us to be seeds of hope. May more and more people be drawn to you. We thank God for our four mission partners whom Scots Church supports. We remember and pray for the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. We remember Adam and Helene Ramsey, with their beloved family in Japan. We remember Colin and Alison Morrow of the Presbyterian Inland Mission, who work from Mildura on the Mango Patrol, and today they will share their experiences and plans through a video interview. And we also pray for Lauren Reiter heading to Spain next year. Missionary God, thank you for your mission accomplished through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Thank you that Christ's mission is to save us from our sins and to lead us into eternal life. We pray that our church community will continue to pray and support the work of our four mission partners, and that you will take the seeds they are planting and bring them to fruition you desire. Please open the hearts of the people in their area to your truth. We pray that you would keep them safe so they can continue in their ministry, and may the people give generously to their work for Christ's glory. We pray for all suffering in mind or body and those who care for them. We pray for the sick, especially in our church community and their beloved families. We remember Stuart Banks, Mary Ohm, Pauline Castle, Peter Saha, and Dr. Dougal, John Dougal. Loving God, may each day be a blessing of healing, strength, and peace to each of them. We remember the students of the Exford Primary School who were in the bus accident last Tuesday. We also remember the people who suffered from the Lover's Lodge fire in Wellington, New Zealand, and the victims of Cyclone Mocha in Myanmar. Lord God, we pray that your presence comforts all the victims and the beloved families as they enter these challenging days of recovery and the slow healing process. We pray that you would help them stay hopeful through it all. We pray for strength, comfort, and peace for those who lost their loved ones in the disaster. May what they have been through and may what we have gone through bring them and us and our loved ones into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And now we thank all sufficient God who generously bestows his blessings upon us. Lord, bless our tithes and offerings and help us to have a generous heart to give generously, whether with money or labor, time or talents. We ask all these things in the one that meets all our needs, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Psalm 116, verses 1 to 9. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. He shares the death encompassed, the pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. Sorry, the glass is a bit funny. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I will thank you for your grace.
The second reading is from Mark 4, 30 to 32 verses. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests from its shade." Amen.
Just to set your mind at rest, I'm not using the pulpit to preach this morning because I'm afraid of heights. It's just that there's a glitch in the sound system relating to the pulpit microphone so that only the first half of the church could actually hear me, and we know Presbyterians like to sit at the back. Can you hear me? Good. Let me pray. Gracious Father, as we open up your inspired, infallible word this morning, open us up. Open up our ears and our hearts so that we may absorb the truth of your word, that it might comfort us, that it might challenge us, and that it might bear fruit in our lives in the week and the weeks ahead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Straw poll, if you don't mind. As a child, how many of you were given a kaleidoscope at some point as a present? Fair number of you. All right, even apart from that, how many of you have had the opportunity to play with one? Okay, I loved it. It kept me going for hours. And I think of Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God as beautiful patterns seen through a kaleidoscope. Each pattern is a glorious and a perfectly symmetrical thing, but with just a flick of a wrist, then the self-same bits and pieces, still beautiful and still perfectly symmetrical, but quite different picture emerges. So hold that thought, if you can, as we consider Jesus' parable of the mustard seed. It's quite short. In fact, it's so short and to the point that we can easily miss the point. And what I mean is, unless we hear Jesus' words in the same way as the people of first century Palestine heard Jesus' words, then we might easily get a very different picture in our heads from the picture that they would have seen, the picture that Jesus painted for them. You see, the idea of a tiny mustard seed growing into something huge sounds a bit like that old English saying, "Mighty oaks from little acorns grow." Picture a mighty oak tree, tall with massive strong branches. And we can think of other mighty trees like Canadian redwoods, the cedars of Lebanon, or our own mountain ash eucalypts, which are, by the way, the tallest flowering plants in the world. These are majestic, grand skyscrapers, and they're perfect for the giant birds of the air to nest in and to keep watch from, spying out their next unsuspecting meal. Eagles, hawks, kites, falcons call these trees home. The raptors at the top of the food chain, the apex predators. But that's not the kingdom of God that Jesus is picturing for us with this parable. He's talking about something much more humble and unspectacular. Look at the photo. I think the photo's on the screen now. That's a fully grown mustard plant. in the Middle East. Exactly the sort of plant Jesus was talking about. Exactly the sort of plant that Jesus' first listeners recognised and were familiar with. Yes, just as Jesus said, this plant, when grown, becomes larger than all the garden plants, larger than the vegetables and the vines, larger than the herbs, and even larger than the fruit trees. It's not trying to outdo oak trees or cedars. They're not garden plants. And yes, as Jesus said, it puts out large branches. But they're not large in the sense of being massively thick and tall. They're long branches, not thick, but long and flexible, maybe like a weeping willow or even like this picture of a feral blackberry patch, which we see quite a few of along the rivers in Australia. Within this sort of plant, Jesus tells us, the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. What sort of birds nest in this mustard bush? Not the big raptors or the big carrion birds. I mean, they're too big for its slender branches, far too big and heavy. And the foliage is that thick that they can't squeeze into it. And so it becomes a haven, a shelter, a refuge, a safe house for a great variety of other birds. Jesus' first century listeners would have got this point. Many would have recalled the words of one of the Psalms which speaks in similar terms. Listen to this beautiful verse from Psalm 84. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. See, the picture the psalmist is painting and the picture that Jesus is painting is basically the same. The kingdom of God is a haven for the humble. It's a refuge for the rejected. It welcomes the weak. It binds up the brokenhearted. The sanctuary and the safety of the kingdom of God was well captured by that hymn writer Isaac Watts, who wrote, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. The kingdom of God exists right here, right now, in our material world, as our shelter from the stormy blast. And it's also the eternal home of our future hope. Think of this church as a mustard bush. If you receive the Scots Church weekly newsletter emailed to you or picked up as you come to church, you may have read a couple of weeks ago how our own senior minister, Phil Campbell, put it so succinctly. He said, Scots has for many years been a church community that has been a place of refuge with a gentle spirit. That remains the case. Whatever your sexual orientation or identity, whatever your race or nationality, whatever your background, you're welcome at Scots Church Melbourne. Because we know full well that all of us are flawed and imperfect people in need of God's grace and mercy. Brothers and sisters, we are the sparrows and the swallows of this picture. We live in a world where great forces can seem likely to overwhelm us at any moment. There are dangers and threats of all kinds. We face physical challenges. We face moral challenges. We face spiritual challenges. Surely little sparrows and swallows don't stand a chance in the rough and tumble of worldly vanity and pride and greed and prejudice and heartlessness. Yet Jesus tells us clearly that he does not want us to retreat from this world around us. He wants us to be in the thick of it. Remember his words of prayer to the Father just before his arrest in John's Gospel, where he said, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." We are to be salt and light in an often brutal and threatening world. But we are not abandoned and we are not defenceless. We have a God who provides for the health, the safety and the welfare of our souls. The writer of Psalm 116 knows it very well. Listen to his words. He said, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." And he goes on to describe God in these words: "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful." Our God is a God of grace and mercy, but he is equally a God of righteousness who cannot abide injustice or wrongdoing or iniquity. What do these characteristics of God mean for us in practice? How does this impact on our relationship with him? Well, this is how the psalmist describes the impact in verse 6. He says, "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me." What do you think the psalmist means by the simple? I'm pretty sure he's not referring to people with a particularly low IQ. It's got to do with how we think of ourselves and our standing before God, regardless of our IQ. To be simple before God is to acknowledge our own brokenness and our essential unworthiness. It's to recognise that we are without hope and without help if we are without God. The hymn writer Augustus Toplady expressed that simplicity of attitude in the hymn we sang just before, "Rock of Ages." He wrote, "Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." That is to be simple before God. It's a simple acknowledgement of our true situation as fallen humanity. And so, as the psalmist tells us, the Lord preserves the simple. When we are brought low, when we stop deluding ourselves about our own worth and humble ourselves in simple trust, then we are saved. When I was brought low, the psalmist says in verse 6, he saved me. Now listen to how the psalmist rejoices in the knowledge of his salvation. In verse 7, "Return, O my soul, to your rest." Picture a sparrow happily returning to the sanctuary of that mustard bush. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." What does this bounty from God consist of? Is it some sort of earthly health, wealth, and prosperity? No. It's far more fundamental than that. The bounty of the Lord is spiritual bounty that is beyond compare. It's a bounty we receive here in this earthly life, and it continues into eternity. Here's how the psalmist describes it: "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling." Another way to put that might be to say, in trusting that I have been saved to eternal life with God, I no longer have reason to despair, and I know which path to follow. So let's return to the picture that Jesus paints of the mustard bush. The birds of the air can make nests in its shade, Jesus says. Here is our sanctuary, and it is always at hand. It's never far from us. It's the active protection and the presence of God in our lives. But we're not to curl up in it in self-indulgence. We have work to do in the world that God has placed us in as his instruments for his purposes. What we're called to do is what the psalmist declares when he says in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The metaphor of the mustard bush is not only a spiritual metaphor, it's also a picture of the body of Christ as the church in practice, the church as she interacts with the world at large. Think of our mission partners, Colin and Alison Morrow, the Presbyterian Inland Missions Mungo Patrol. Every time they set out from Mildura in that four-wheel drive to do the rounds over many kilometres, they walk before the Lord, or drive before the Lord, in the land of the living. They manifest the mustard bush, sprung from Jesus, the mustard seed. They provide the shade to shelter and protect whoever is in need. Or think of the recently departed Father Bob Maguire, the rebel priest who put the needs of others before the dictates of his ecclesiastical superiors. At his state funeral here in Melbourne 2 weeks ago, one of the speakers you may have read in the news was the Catholic Archbishop of Brisbane, Mark Coleridge, himself actually not a stranger to the Scots Church pulpit, for those who have long memories. And he spoke of Bob's terrible childhood with an alcoholic and a violent father. And he said this of Bob. He said, he was broken in much of his earlier life, but he grew strong in the broken places, which is why he was able to understand and embrace human brokenness and to learn passionately to bring strength to the broken. He saw Bob Maguire as an example of what the church should be like if it's to thrive. He said this, Maguire was about action, not just words. He rolled up his sleeves and got stuff done. He had mud on his boots. He didn't judge or condemn. He opened his door to all. He had an unrivalled sense of humour. Now put that profile together, Mark Coleridge said, and you have the kind of religion that has a chance in this country. Put the opposite profile together, and you have the kind of religion that has no chance whatsoever. That's a frank assessment that I think well and truly hits the mark. It ought to hit a nerve with each of us. Which profile fits us? Is our mustard bush thriving? Are we putting out branches so that the little birds of the air can make nests in our shade? Each of us will walk a different path this week. But whatever that path, I pray that we each walk it knowing that we are in the presence of the living God, knowing that we have a spiritual shelter of the kingdom around us, and generously, open-heartedly living out our faith in the land of the living. Amen. And thanks be to God. Our final hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Alleluia.
Please join us for our mission partners lunch in the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building behind me if you're at all able to. And if you're not, maybe grab a barista coffee at least before you depart. And now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.